Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
So we know that we are living in an ever-changing world. Shifting sands, constant earthquakes, natural disasters that seem to hit our world with more intensity, volcanic eruptions causing hundreds of thousands to have to flee their homes, forest fires, virulent sicknesses, flu viruses that seem to be mutating to uncontrollable strains, and on we live in an ever-changing world. In fact, Romans 8 tells us that the earth itself groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more intense certain earthly activities are going to be, the more strange certain weather patterns are going to be. And the stranger certain things become in the world, well, the more evident that we are living in apocalyptic times, but we are also living in the greatest of apostolic times. Because not only while natural phenomena is taking place in the world at an ever-charging pace, at an exponential rate, so it is with the former and latter rain accumulated revival of the last days. More people that are being baptized in the name of Jesus around the world, coming to a revelation of the oneness of God, knowing that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So yes, we are living in an ever-changing world, but we serve a God with a never-changing word. Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, if God has a pattern, then he has a pattern of always being able to do the impossible. If he has a set way of doing things, then it's because he is always supernatural. I mean, people can be fickle. They can change their politics on you. They can change their strategies on you. They can be your friend today and your adversary tomorrow. But God is forever the same. In him there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is a God that is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if you're facing an impossible situation today, go to a God that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is available with supernatural power to become your comfort, to lead you out of darkness into marvelous light, to pull you out of the pit of despairing circumstances and give you a solid rock, a foundation of faith to stand on, to build on, to grow in, and to know that no matter what stage of discipleship you're developing in, that his grace is going to be there, his favor is going to be upon you, that his love is going to direct and guide you, and that no matter what you face in this ever-changing world, you have a God with a never-changing word. That word's going to be the foundation that's unshakable when the greatest of structures in this world are shaken and crumble and topple over because of the certain intensities of earthquakes. The word of our God will stand forever when the grass of the field has withered and the flowers have faded. I mean, we can look at the minor things in our world that need fixing to the major, impossible, overwhelming things that need to be fixed, whether it's terminal sicknesses, whether it's sadistic behavior in the world that doesn't seem to cease, whether it's weather patterns that seem to get more intense. Our God is a God that looks at these things no matter what measure of misery they bring, no matter what level of impossibility they may work from. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. See, if you were to be a magician like those of old Janus and Jambres, you would have an ever-changing wand, so to speak. They would keep adding to their bag of tricks, come up with some new sensational imagery in which to impress the Pharaoh of that day, come up with some new illusion with which to rule the people with their seeming godlike powers. But God doesn't need magic. He has simple manifestation. He just shows up, and his creative power can create something out of nothing. That's why when Moses and Aaron walked into the courts of Pharaoh with a demand, "Let my people go," and when Aaron took that rod out of Moses' hand and cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, at that very moment, Jannes and Jambres came out and they took their sticks and threw them on the ground and they too became snakes. And yet the rod of Moses that became a serpent swallowed up the two snakes of Jannes and Jambres. That's because trickery will always be swallowed up by truth. That's because God doesn't need an ever-changing wand. He doesn't need anything to be added to his bag of tricks. He's got all power. He's always had all power. He upholds the worlds by the word of his power. His power is everlasting, which means that it cannot be exhausted. You cannot drain God of his energy. You cannot diminish God from his greatness. You cannot decelerate the speed with which his word can accomplish a task. You cannot discourage the Almighty God by showing him something that no man has ever seen, because nothing is too hard for God. You cannot demean his reputation, because even if you are an unbeliever and you let unbelief rule your mind and heart, it doesn't change the fact of what God has done, is doing, and will do, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people are going to come up with new ways. They're going to come up with deceptive routes. They're going to come up with a multiple choice list, and sometimes they'll add Jesus to that list, or sometimes he won't even be a part of their recognition. But it makes no difference whether it's agnostic or atheistic, humanistic or secularist. God is still who he is. He hasn't given up his throne. You're not going to be able to take him off the seat of his power. And so in a world of ever-changing ways, paths of the perverted, trails of the treacherous, God's word is never changing. It is forever settled in heaven. It can resolve the issues of your heart. It can resolve the sadness of your mind. It can resolve the sorrows of your past. It can bring to you an understanding that you won't find in the books of the world, but you'll find it in the word of God. Some people trust in the road that leads to success, and they give up their whole life to make a few dollars or to make a name for themselves, to go out with popularity, power, and prestige, but no redeeming qualities. Nothing that can be taken beyond the grave. Naked everyone came into the world, and naked we will leave. There is nothing of this materialistic earth that is going to transfer over to that spiritual society of the New Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. Some are like greedy Balaam, that it makes no difference what kind of divine interference there might be, or what kind of prayerful blockade there might be to interfere with intentions. Numbers 22 and 24 said, "But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side." That angel was obstructing, was interfering, was blocking the way of Balaam, and yet he was so determined that even when his mule talked to him, he smote that donkey and wanted to keep going in the direction of his own will. That's the reason why so many people end up losing out in life and in the end of life. But Psalm 16 and 11 said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So in a world of ever-changing ways, you need a never-changing word. That word of God will put you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You will say with the psalmist in Psalm 27 and 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." In other words, I don't want to do something on my own routing. I don't want to follow my own human GPS system of reasoning, because I might end up falling to the adversaries of darkness. But we continue to pray, as Psalm 119 and 35 says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." I mean, some people think that serving the Lord is just a bunch of religious obligations. It's a bunch of sterile standards that have no power in them. It's just a bunch of regulations and restrictions, boundaries and bondage. But according to this, it's a delight. The path of the commandments of the Lord, living a life of obedience, is the optimum. It's not the minimum. It's not a drudgery. It doesn't drain you or take away from you. Doing the will of God and serving the Lord according to His word is what brings power. It's what brings the best purpose to your life in all of the world. And so, in an ever-changing world, with ever-changing ways and ever-changing wands, if you will, of magic and superstition and New Age methods and ideologies and man-made philosophies, you need the never-changing word to show you what way you should take. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's not a plurality of paths. He's the singular road of redemption. He is that one avenue toward the Almighty, an escape out of sin and darkness and destruction. This is why the great wise man in Psalm 1, trying to warn his son of the ill-advised routes of the rebellious, he said, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Don't just go down the road with somebody because they have persuasively convinced you that that's the way to success. If the Bible doesn't confirm it, if the Word of God is not in harmony with it, you need to get out of that orchestra because you're playing the wrong tune. You're going to end up showing up at the wrong playhouse, and you're going to end up being in bondage to the wrong thing. But you need to know that according to Proverbs 4:18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Think about it when you're walking down a path early in the morning. Maybe it's just twilight. Maybe the dawn has barely broken and the last bits of night have faded away. And the longer you walk in that light, the more the sun rises. Certain things that were hidden in the shadows, certain parts of the vision ahead were dim, but they become brighter. They become easier to see. So it is when you walk in that path of righteousness, it leads to a more perfect day. Not only do we live in an ever-changing world with ever-changing ways and ever-changing wands that appeal to the magic and superstition of men, but we live in a world of ever-changing wants. I mean, how fickle and vacillating people have become in our society. People get married and stay with their spouse for a few years, and then they change them in, like buying a new car. We change opinions, we change ideas, we change fashions, we change the color of the cars, and we change our favorite ideas, and we change our favorite songs, sermons, and sayings, and we give ourselves over to that taste of the moment. This is why James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. How many people do you know around you that just simply don't know what they really want? Every day they're changing their dream. Every day their ambitions are striving towards something else. The destination changes so frequently as if it's some jumbled up GPS system that can't find the satellite of understanding. There is no anchor in the soul. There's no moorings out there in the distance for them to really aim toward. And so they walk listlessly. But the word of God is still true in that infamous Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's always a green pasture. The enemy will come along and make you think that certain hopes in Christianity have withered, that certain principles of the Word of God have faded and are outdated for our generation, that they no longer work in this 2018 generation and modern times of how to deal with sicknesses and how to deal with overcoming depression and despair and disappointment. But our God is not changing. He will lead us beside the still waters. He'll restore our souls. He leads us in the paths of righteousness still for His name's sake. And so Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." When you serve God, you're always going to have the good. When you serve God, you're always going to have the ability to gain. When you serve God, you serve the best giver that's ever lived, because you try to give to God, he gives back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. Now, what we do know is we live in an hour when people want to live like they want to live. They want to do that which is right in their own eyes. They want somebody else to suffer for the mistakes that they make. Proverbs 13:23 said, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." True reasoning, divine directives, spiritual understanding, because the carnal mind is always going to be enmity. Hostile, is going to refute the things of God. It's going to ignore the call of God. It's going to want the things that appease the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But when you learn that nothing satisfies the soul like a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, then you realize that in a world of ever-changing wants, you have a never-changing word, and that will always keep you satisfied. It's what Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4. You drink of the water of this well, speaking of the well of Jacob that she was standing at, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I can give you, you will never thirst again, because there is nothing more quenching than a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you can draw from the wells of salvation from that will bring you more joy than walking with God and walking in the presence of the Lord. And see, there's a difference in wanting things of the world and then being in want. Luke 15:14 describes this of the prodigal son that took his inheritance from his father's house and went out into a far country and squandered all of his savings. And then when he was in the pig pen, the Bible said when that land had a mighty famine come in it, that he began to be in want. This is what happens when you go down the self-destructive path of human will, of rebellion, of stubbornness, of pride, because God resists the proud. But if you humble yourself before the Lord, there is favor to be found. There is no want in the Father's house. This is what the prodigal came to understand again, that even the servants in his daddy's house had it better than a son who had gone out and squandered everything in the world. Because at the end of the day, there is nothing really to be wanted in the world that can satisfy. So in a world of ever-changing wants, of shifting opinions and tastes, you need a never-changing word. That word that is a lamp under your feet and a light to your path. That experience with God of which the word says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And of course, we live in a world of ever-changing wages. We know that the Bible tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When you make your payment at the end of a day of human pride, when you get your salary for sin at the end of this life, it's only going to end in separation, sadness, and everlasting sorrow. Who wants to pay that kind of price? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What profit is there to walk your own path and gain all the glories of this temporary world, only to be lost forever and ever? Even Apostle Peter was warning the church of his day of those that had forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is doing that which is displeasing to God. Is it reasonable to think that we're living in a society of rebels that would actually take payment to try to mock God, to bring God down, to blaspheme his name? I think of some of the celebrities that come out of Hollywood, some of the voices that you can hear come over television, cable, radio, and satellite or podcasting networks, and how poisonous and sickening they are, vehement words they speak, against the values of Christians and those who have sacrificed their lives for the freedom of this country, dying on battlefields, shedding blood because they believed in God and country. And yet these individuals come along and have that spirit of Balaam. They know the word of God. In fact, at some point they have probably believed the word of God. And yet, in order to be approved, in order to find acceptance, in order to raise their Nielsen's ratings, they say whatever they want. They are full of blasphemies. And that's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. That is the spirit of Antichrist in our generation. And finally, we live in a world of ever-changing what-ifs. What if I had more money? What if I had a better education? What if I'd have married that someone else? What if I'd have been raised in that family? What if I'd have been given that position? What if I'd have made that last second shot or made that last second field goal? Or what if I'd have been the winning quarterback on that championship team? What if I had her looks? Or what if I had his personality? Or what if I had their voice to be able to sing like they sing? I mean, think about some of the what-ifs of the Bible. What if Esau would have never sold his birthright to his clever brother Jacob? What if Judas would have thrown that offer from the Pharisees back at their feet and refused the 30 pieces of silver? What if Gehazi had not chased down Naaman after his miracle received from the prayer of Elisha? What if Demas had not forsaken Apostle Paul? What if the thief on the wrong side of the cross had reached out for his righteousness like the other thief did? What if Ananias and Sapphira had not kept back part of the price? I mean, you can go on with what ifs until you are haunted in the depths of your heart, until you are tormented and plagued in your mind, until you walk around in circles of frustration, wanting another chance to prove yourself. But let me tell you, in a world of ever-changing what ifs, there is the greatest what if of all time. What if a man gives his heart to God? Well, the scripture said, whosoever will, let him come. That door is wide open. And so no matter how many failed opportunities you've had or how many times you've just plain missed it, when you get a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you become his child and walk through the doors of his kingdom, all those what ifs will fade away. Because someday the what ifs are going to be a reality when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming back with a shout. He's coming back with the voice of the archangel. That's not a what if. That's just a matter of time, and it's going to take place. So you can come out of the shadows of shame. You can rise up out of that seat of loneliness and self-loathing that you've endured. Because in a world of ever-changing what-ifs, you will know of a surety that you made the right decision when you gave your life and your heart and your mind and everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, make up your mind today that you're going to discover the truth of what Jesus said, that out of your belly would flow rivers of living water, that you're going to discover the truth of what the Word of God says, the never-changing Word of God, when he says he will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, that he will give you a peace that passes all understanding, that tells you that the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Yes, in this world of ever-changing wants, you'll find out what Peter was talking about, a sure word of prophecy. So no matter what fears of failure you have, no matter what fears of rejection you may endure, you need to know that in this ever-changing world, you have a never-changing word from God. That word is going to hold you in the loneliest of hours. That word is going to help you when you have no one else to talk to and no one else to turn to. That word of God is going to strengthen you when you are in your weakest hour. It's going to hold you up in faith when you're at your most fragile. And even when you think that you have even let God down and you are in the worst days of your life, there'll be a light that springs out of a moment of prayer. And when you humble yourself before God, you will learn over and over again what it means to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, leaning not to your own understanding, knowing that he shall direct your paths, and that the directions he's giving you is one that has the everlasting word guiding you, leading you, the compass of your soul that will not leave you in the wilderness of the world, but will bring you to the satisfaction of eternity. Eternity where the Lamb is the light. Eternity where the joys of the Lord will be forever and ever at his right hand. Oh, my friend, get a hold of that never-changing Word of God. In Jesus' name.
This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.